The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Sunday, March 4th, 2012, at the 11 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. The sermon was delivered by Pastor Brian Smith, and the title of the message was, All for One and One for All.
One of my favorite TV shows is The Colbert Report. If I'm still awake at 11:30, I always turn to that channel to watch Stephen Colbert creatively, inspired way present his persona of a far-right political pundit. I'm always amazed at the depth of insight and humor that he's able to bring to that show. And I heard this past week that Stephen Colbert is also a Christian. He actually has been through a time of great suffering in his life. In 1974, when Colbert was just a young boy, his father and two brothers of his died in a plane crash as they were flying to a prep school in New England. Colbert was interviewed by a reporter for the New York Times Magazine recently, and he was talking about that event in his life. And he shared these words. He said, I'm not bitter about what happened to me as a child, and my mother was instrumental in keeping me from being so. She taught me to be grateful for my life, regardless of what that entailed, and that's directly related to the image of Christ on the cross and the example of sacrifice that he gave us. What she taught me is that the deliverance God offers you from pain is not no pain. It's that pain is actually a gift. It's pretty deep, solid theological insight from a professional comedian who was well taught by his mom about the realities of this Christian faith. Well, someone else has sought to teach us about the realities of the faith, especially when it comes to this thing called suffering and pain, was the Apostle Paul. He wrote letters to some Christians in the city of Corinth who were experiencing some profound pain of their own. And he begins this letter, the second letter to the Corinthians, with these words. Listen now for God's word to you as I share these holy words of Scripture. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with a comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. My birthday was a couple of days ago, and I typically ask folks on their birthdays a question. What have you learned in the past year? I was first asked a question by Dave Willerup, a seminary intern here, who helped me to understand that you can use a birthday not just to mark off years of your life, but to be asking yourself, how is the journey of faith going? What have you learned as a follower of Jesus over the past year? To live and not learn is to waste a year. And so that question was turned back upon me and asked again, Brian, what have you learned in the past year? As I thought about that, one of the things that I know I've learned, or at least learned more deeply, is how absolutely crucial and essential it is to be part of a Christian community. It'd be weird to think about a guy who's 51 years old, who's been a pastor for 25 years, who's always been part of a church, to start realizing how important it is to be part of a community of faith. I mean, I devote my professional life to being part of a faith community, being a part of that life and of that hope in Christ. But while I've always known that being part of a church is important, that God puts us together with different gifts that we're called to learn how to love each other and so on, it's only been recently, in the last 3 years or so, that I've come to understand that being part of a church is absolutely essential. we really are to live this life of faith in any sort of deep, transformative way. And what it's helped me to understand that is not just reading the words of Paul or other scripture writers, not merely by praying or meditating, but rather suffering and pain has been the great teacher about that. If you've been part of our church for a while, you know the past few years for me have been times where I've suffered some profound losses. My mom and dad have both died rather suddenly over these past 3 years. And their loss, their death, has hit me in ways that are far deeper than I would have expected. I find that I'm still dealing with the loss of my parents in a way that resides deep in my spirit. On top of that, last fall, our first child, Julia, flew the coop, went out to California to take part in a program out there, a study that I'm happy for her about. She's passionate about it. I'm glad that she's pursuing that calling. She's got great roommates, but I miss her. I miss spending the time that she was so accessible in our lives. On top of that, it seems like over the past few years, our culture has entered into a time that is causing me to mourn. We've moved into a time that seems profoundly divisive, argumentative. There seems to be a growing lack of respect extended by our leaders towards each other. It seems to me I've begun to lose trust in our institutions in some way. A time of economic trial that has caused many people to suffer greatly. Our nation is out of two wars, although a war on terrorism continues. On top of that, I've done some more funerals in the last couple of years for folks who died way too young. You add in a midlife crisis and a bit of a dark night of soul, and I begin to feel like, you know, I'm starting to understand what Paul's talking about when he says, we were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Now, Paul was a guy who suffered in an extraordinary way. He was shipwrecked more than once, beaten, arrested. He often found himself out in a place in the wilderness without food or shelter. He suffered betrayal by the hands of folks who he helped to lead to Christianity and churches he helped to form. Paul is very clear in other writings how much he has suffered. And when I compare my sufferings to Paul's, I really know that I've drawn the short end of the stick. Or maybe I've been spared some things that he's been spared. My sufferings come more from the normal rhythms of life. People grow older. They get sick. They die. Children grow up. They move away from home. Culture goes through times of great struggle and turmoil. I understand that my sufferings are not extraordinary, but they're still real to me. And they've left an abiding impact in my spirit. Carl Jung once said that there is a legitimate pain that comes from being human. The writer of Scripture says that people are born to trouble the way that sparks fly upward. There's something about being a human being that means that we will suffer. We will hurt. We will grieve. We will experience loss. Sometimes, like a Stephen Colbert, they can come in a moment's time when a plane goes down or a cancer strikes. But for some of us, it comes more natural rhythms of life. When I look at my life today, I realize that the sadness and grief have not shown up as visitors in my heart. They seem to have taken up a room there. They seem to be sort of a constant companion now in my life. And that pain has, as Colbert said, has been a bit of a gift for me. Because for me, the gift has been that I am now able to say with greater clarity, with greater conviction and joy, the truth that Paul also expressed in our scripture reading. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. I've learned to appreciate in a deeper way that our God is indeed compassionate. But God is a God of comfort. You know, when you're really thirsty, and the thirst begins to drive you a bit crazy, having a glass of cold water is an exquisite experience. We always know the water is there, but when you really have a need for that water, there's something about receiving it that really touches not just the body, but the heart. And so we also know God is always compassionate and comforting, but when we are actually in places of great distress and our spirits are dry and our hearts are broken, then that compassion and that comfort is life-giving. It's not taken for granted. It's taken as being a life-saving event. Over the past couple of weeks, I tried to open up some space around the truth that we as human beings suffer. I'm not sure it's a topic that gets talked a whole lot about in church, actually. I think part of that is that Christians as well as non-Christians have a fear about this topic. We'd rather stay distracted or busy. We'd rather have toys that kind of allow us to look in other directions. But you can't really be a follower of Jesus, not really, without suffering. In fact, he himself kind of said it right up front, if you want to follow me, guess what? You need to pick up a cross. You need to deny yourself. You need to die to yourself. Those are all images that say that if you're going to follow me, it's going to be some trouble in your life, some suffering, some hardship. Get ready. Here it comes. And so often we act as Christians, surprised, annoyed, angry, resentful, when those things actually find their way to our lives. And so I've been trying to create some space around that. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that God gives us some great gifts to help us to face our sufferings in a way that transforms us. And one of the gifts is hope. You know, I know that when I'm suffering and I'm hurting, I tend to just focus on my own experience, my own emotions, and my life becomes sort of limited and small, and I forget that I'm part of a bigger story, God's story. A story that because of Christ's life and death and resurrection is moving to a grand conclusion when death and suffering and despair will be no more. And the Bible says, keep your eyes focused on that hope. Troubles last for a moment, but God's salvation and hope and glory will last forever. And then last week we talked about the fact that God also gives us the gifts of His Holy Spirit that we are told groans within us, intercedes for us with groans beneath words, that the Spirit comes to groan within us and for us and through us, that the Spirit joins us in our suffering to give us His presence and His power. And today I wanted us to think about the fact that one of the ways that God grants us His comfort, His hope, is through each other. That we, as members of the family of God, are given the great task and the great privilege of being transmitters of that comfort of God. Of being people through whom God works in ways that allow that hope to be given. Paul says, for just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Again, Paul is echoing here that truth that part of being a Christian means that you join in this kind of weird, mystical, and painful thing called the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. That the crucified Messiah came to take up residence within the reality of human suffering and pain and turmoil. That if we are to meet Christ and know Christ, the place to find Him is not simply being on a mountaintop or under a tree meditating. It is to look in those places where there is suffering and pain. That is where Jesus Christ, the crucified one, can be found. I was thinking about that this past week when I've been reading about the horrific events going on in Syria. Despite diplomatic pressures of all sorts, the dictator there is continuing to try to murder and to oppress the opposition. And he's decided that the opposition kind of is located in a city called Homs, and so he's targeted his military power upon that city. It's been barraged. I read yesterday the Red Cross is being denied access to that city, the fear being that the government does not want outsiders to see the level of devastation that's gone on to those people. The red cross can't get in there, but the person who died on the cross is already in Homs. He's been there. As people have been attacked and murdered and bombed, the crucified Messiah has been there suffering with those people, allowing his heart again to be broken in the face of horrific violence. Christ is there. Christ experiences the sufferings of the Syrians, the sufferings of all of us in his great heart. And yet, Paul says that on the heels of suffering, there always comes this thing called divine comfort. Yes, Paul says, Christ's sufferings flow into our lives, but Christ's comfort overflows. It comes upon us and over us that it might then move out to those who also need comfort. But God always gives enough comfort, not just for ourselves, but to be able to share that with those who are hurting and broken. 9 times Paul uses the word comfort in these 4 short verses. Like so many other things, when it comes to things of God, those terms can get diminished by our own experience of them. When we think of comfort here as Americans, we think of certain things. We often speak, for example, of comfort foods. When you're really feeling down, hurting, depressed, you reach for that ice cream or that meatloaf, whatever it is that kind of allows you to feel comforted. We have comfort foods. We also try to wear comfortable clothing. Clothing doesn't restrict us. We feel good and allows us to move. It breathes. We put comforters on our bed so we can feel warm and snuggly. That word comfort kind of implies this idea of being surrounded by something nice and soft. It gives us a moment's break. But that's not what Paul's talking about. The word comfort actually comes from a Latin word, the root of it being fortis, come fortis, with strength, with courage, with bravery. That true godly comfort comes to us not to inoculate us from suffering, but to give us the courage and the bravery and the strength to face that suffering with a power beyond our own. That true Christian comfort gives us that power to know the truth that in Christ we can face whatever it is that is coming our way. There's a gift beyond meatloaf or ice cream, bedding, and nice clothes. There's a power to this comfort that allows us to face life honestly and directly. And I know that to be true because you've taught me that. There are saints in this church who have suffered tremendously, who, like Stephen Colbert, have lost family members quickly, tragically. Others have faced the realities of cancer, have watched their children die. There are folks here who have gone through tremendous suffering and yet have found that Paul is being truthful, that there is a comfort that comes to us from God. And as you have been covered in your afflictions, you've then had a surplus of comfort that you have been able to share with me in my own losses, my own struggles. That those who know the way of Christ have been able to share with me that it is always best to face your struggles and your pain head on, directly. To look at death face to face. To be able to create holy space around grief that allows Christ to take that event and to use it as a revelation of his goodness and of his grace. In his book, The Wounded Healer, Henry Nouwen writes these words. So that we become aware that we do not have to escape our pains, but that we can mobilize them into a common search for life. Those very pains are transformed from expressions of despair into signs of hope. That is the Christian gospel. Pain does not need to be fleed from, but can be mobilized from despair into hope. This hope, in turn, leads us far beyond the boundaries of human togetherness to him who calls his people away from slavery to the land of freedom. Community arises where the sharing of pain takes place not as a stifling form of self-complaint, but as a recognition of God's saving promises. This is the kind of community the world so desperately needs, yearns for. In a world where we inflict so much pain upon each other based upon such trivial and stupid things as human differences, God calls us to a way of being together in a way that transforms all of those differences and the sufferings and our brokenness into a community of holiness, into a body of the crucified one. And in that community together, we find that we do not need to be afraid or overcome, but that Christ has indeed overcome the world and grants that strength and that hope through one another. Today, as we come to this meal, we will again take bread. I'll break it. We'll pour out wine. We'll talk about Christ's body being broken and poured out. But you know, you're called to do the same thing. We're called to be broken and poured out in service to others. And may that God who has offered Himself in love for us move amongst us and within us to make that love also the driving factor in our lives here today. And it is to this great God, the God of all comfort, the God of compassion, we give all praise and honor and glory today and forevermore. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.